Good morning. You may be seated. Kids, you can take your places. Kids prepared a little presentation for you, just about what the meaning is of Christmas and why we need to be so excited that this miracle happened.
Hello, my name is Ms. Stevens. I teach kids church here at our church. This year, I have an interesting group. I enjoy them a lot, even though they sometimes don't listen to me. We've become a real team. I love to bake, and they love to eat. But kids church isn't just about eating. It's about learning and growing, too. I want everyone in my class to realize that Christmas isn't just a one-day celebration. Christmas changes the way we live all year long. But how can I help the kids remember this without saying it over and over? I decided to send each kid a Christmas card. So, starting in January, each kid in my kids' church class received a card. Let's see what happened throughout the year.
Hey, there's mail. Hey, look, I got mail. It looks like a card.
Who's it from?
It doesn't say. Open it. It's a Christmas card.
Kind of late for that, isn't it? Christmas was a month ago. Who's it from?
It says Emmanuel on the outside, and on the inside, it says he's still here.
Is that all it says?
There's a Bible verse, too.
Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel.
What does Emmanuel mean?
Emmanuel's the name for Jesus. It means God with us.
He's still here. Are we supposed to look for a baby in a manger somewhere?
Maybe it's an invitation to a scavenger hunt. Maybe someone hid a manger and we're supposed to find it.
Well, it looks like Harry was a bit confused, but I expected he would be. I heard when the other kids received their cards, they were equally confused. But when they figured out that only the kids in my kids' church class received the cards, it didn't take long for them to figure out I was the one sending them. They brought it up next Sunday, but I pretended not to notice. I pretended not to know what they were talking about. They did enjoy the Christmas cookies I brought in January and February, March and April, too. And about the time their curiosity was fading, I sent them another card. Let's see how James reacted.
James, you got mail.
Who's it from?
Open it and find out.
Hey, it's a card, a Christmas card.
This must be some kind of joke. No one says Christmas cards in May.
The outside says Emmanuel, and the inside has some Bible verses.
Matthew 1, verse 20 to 22. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 22 to 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
The card we got in January had the same word on the front.
And this card says they still do.
They still do what? Call Jesus Emmanuel, I guess. But why doesn't Stevens want us to call Jesus a different name?
The Bible verse says that Emmanuel means God with us. Maybe Miss Stevens wants you to think about Christmas more than once a year.
I think about presents more than once a year. Does that count?
I don't think that's what Miss Stevens means, Sam.
The kids were all talking at once next Sunday. Mrs. Stevens, we know it's you. I pretended not to notice as I served my mix sprinkled with red and green M&Ms. It was harder to keep their attention, even when they munched pretzel sticks down by the handful. It was time for summer break for them, but not time to stop sending Christmas cards. This time, let's check on Brian and his friends.
Brian, you've got mail.
What's this?
It's a letter for Brian. I bet it's from his girlfriend.
Who's it really from, Brian?
It doesn't say. It's a Christmas card.
Wow, maybe it got stuck in the mail for half a year.
No way. I looked at the postmark. It was mailed yesterday. I don't get it. A Christmas card in July?
I think it's another one of Miss Stevens' special Christmas cards.
What does the card say?
It says, your brother is going away until next Christmas.
It does not.
It has the name Emmanuel on the outside and a Bible verse on the inside, just like the card we got in January and May.
Luke 2, verse 4 to 5. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Luke 2, verse 6 to 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Then the card says, no room even in July.
That Miss Stevens sure is weird. Why would she do this?
I think she wants us to think about Christmas even in the summer.
Whatever it is, she sure seems stuck on that word Emmanuel.
Teresa thinks I'm stuck on the word Emmanuel. She's right. More and more I come to think that Christmas can be described in one word. Emmanuel. But I'm getting ahead of myself. In September, kids' church started again, and the kids were all talking at once. When they heard the Christmas carols playing, they quieted down. They looked at me with question marks in their eyes. I said nothing, but the very next day, I sent another card. Let's catch up with Tony.
Check your mail today. I got another card from Mrs. Stevens.
Did she sign it this time?
No, but we all know it's hers. This one has a verse from the book of John.
John 1, verse 1 to 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
The friend says Emmanuel, now.
Now? Like in the present?
We're all getting presents? That's great. I want a bike.
Get real.
A stereo would be nice.
Joe, cut it out. What do you think it means, Tony?
I think it's another kind of present, like what's happening today.
Sounds strange to me.
I hope one of these days Miss Stevens tells us what this is all about.
Teresa's right again. It's about time that I explain what this is all about. Christmas cards in January, May, July, September, and Christmas cookies and carols all year long. It is a bit unusual. Well, it's almost Christmas on the calendar again, and a good time to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Come, visit my Sunday school class, my kids' church class. Let's talk about the cards received this year. I guess by now you have all figured out I was the one sending them.
Yeah, we knew it was you right away.
Plus, you made Christmas cookies in January, February, March, and April.
You served us party mix in May with red and green M&Ms.
And played us Christmas carols in September.
You gave us presents in December.
Wait a minute, I didn't give you presents.
I figured that if I suggested it, you might think it's a good idea.
Nice try, but that's not why I did this. James, why do you think I did it?
To get us to think about Christmas all year long?
That was a big part of it. You see, Last year when we talked about Christmas, I wanted to get you to think about that Christmas is something we can think about more than once. We think about more than once a year. Christmas is something we can celebrate every day of the year. One word, very special word, reminds us of that. Anyone know what it is?
Emmanuel.
That's right. How did you know?
It's been on every card you sent us.
Yeah, but why? What's it all about?
What does Emmanuel mean?
I know. It means God with us.
That's right. God with us. Not God was with us, or even God will be with us. God is with us right here, right now. Even though we only celebrate Jesus' birthday once a year, God is with us every day, no matter where we are, what we're doing, or what time of year it is.
Oh, now I get it. So even in the summer is Christmas.
That's right, James. That's what I was trying to tell you by sending all those cards.
Hebrews 1 verses 1 to 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs.
This morning, we continue where the children left off. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. Maybe they've been your questions in life. Does God care? Where are you? How do we know? The passage that Jared read was from and is from the book of Hebrews. We're not exactly sure who the author of Hebrews is, but what we do know is that it was written about 60 AD. The author begins the book of Hebrews by saying, "In the last days." The new covenant was about to be established, the ushering in of Christ and his kingdom, and all of the old ways that the Jewish people would have known were about to be fulfilled, to be completed in this Emmanuel, God with us. It was also a time of great persecution. By the time you get to Hebrews chapter 1, a letter that is written to Jews either in Rome or in Palestine, these new Jewish Christians were being persecuted for their faith. The temple was still there. The Old Testament rituals were still going on. And yet many Jews were reverting back to the old Jewish ways. But many held true because they knew that Christ was superior, Christ was better, that Christ had fulfilled in giving them something that the old law and the old ways never really did. And yet the questions remained. Maybe they're not your questions. Maybe they're questions of a friend, but they're questions that are worthy of a look at. Do you care? Where are you, God? How do we know? You see, God was speaking. God was and God is and God continues to speak in space and time and history. It, in fact, it is there from the beginning. Because at the beginning of time, in the beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God." In the beginning, God spoke and it came into being. Have you ever thought of that for a moment? When you begin to wonder where God is, how God reveals himself, where is God speaking? God speaks by the very creation he created. God spoke, and there was the sun and the moon and the stars, and there was the sea, and there's birds of the air and animals to cover the land. You just need to look at the world around us. And the scriptures tell us that it leaves man without excuse because the world speaks of the creative power and wonder of God. God spoke to a guy named Moses in a burning bush. He spoke to the Israelites by a cloud by day and fire by night. God spoke as Moses came down with the Ten Commandments. God spoke to a guy named Elijah in a still small voice. He spoke to a guy named Isaiah in a powerful dream. He spoke to a man named Noah, who he told to build an ark. And God spoke as he sent a flood. God spoke to a guy named Samuel, not once, not twice, but three times. He spoke to a guy named Hosea through his family circumstances. He spoke to a man named Amos, another prophet, with a basket of fruit. He spoke to Jeremiah in a potter's clay. He spoke to Joseph through a dream. Did you even know that when people wouldn't listen, he went to a donkey and a donkey spoke? God has and always will continue to speak. He speaks today through his word. He speaks today through each of us here this morning to tell the wonder and the radiance and the wonder and the splendor of God and who he is and what he's doing in the world. There has never been a lack of revelation or opportunity for the story of God to be revealed. But I wonder if the real problem is that at times we're not listening. As you end the old covenant, the story comes to a conclusion in the book of Malachi. And did you know that there's 400 years, 400 years where the people wondered where God was? Did he even care? How would we know that God loved us? And yet all the while, everything I have just shared with you was still going on in human history and God was speaking. But it all comes to light when you get to a guy, another prophet, named John the Baptist. And he comes on the way and he prepares the way for Jesus the Messiah. And yet I wonder if we're like Israel. And we're not really listening. Because you know, I think we're so busy. Take out family and work. There's so many things vying for our attention this morning, even as we're here. I mean, there's your phone. I don't know about you, but there's a home phone, which gets messages, a cell phone, which gets messages, a work cell phone, which gets messages. Oh yeah, and then there's texts, texts that come on your work phone, texts that come on your home phone, and then there's email at home and at work, and then there's something called Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook, and there's live streaming, there's satellite radio, there's TV, there's Netflix, there's ABC and DEF, whatever the other things are today. I mean, they're all vying for our attention, aren't they? And all the while, God is trying to get our attention and say, I'm speaking. Do you hear the story of God? See, if you need to know anything about God, it's that God reveals himself. And he came to create a relationship with you and with me, because he loved us. Do you care, God? Where are you? How do we know? The text tells us this morning, it says this: the sun is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact expression or representation, as Jared read, of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. How do you know? The mangy manger. The cross is the answer for you to know how much God loves you and how much God cares for you. Did you catch the passage? It's telling us something. And it's telling us something so life-changing and so profound. The Son is the heir. He is the heir of all things that God has made. Not only is he the heir, but he's a ruling participant in all of the affairs of the world along with his Father. The Son was there when the world was begun. We read about that in the play the kids put on. Did you catch it? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God in the beginning. And then let me take it a little farther and go to Philippians chapter 2, where it comes to life. The Son who was there with the Father did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he humbled himself. And he came in human flesh and he became a servant. The Son is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact representation of the Father. Ever wonder what the Father is like? God the Father? Look to Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus is like, look to the Father. By their very nature, they are exact duplicates or copies of one another. This same Son who comes into the world to redeem us for the purification of all of our sins holds the world together. Ever wonder where God is? How God's at work? When God speaks, the world is created. Because God speaks, the seasons change. Because God speaks, there is enough oxygen for you and I to live and breathe and move. Because God speaks, the sun comes and the sun sets. Because God speaks, the seasons change. And there's a time for the ground to produce food and a time for it to rest. You see, God speaks so we might be able to get to know him better. And so he can change us. Do you care? Where are you? How do we know? They're not just our questions. They're questions that have been there throughout the ages. Think of the songs that we have just sung. They begin to draw us into that story. Wonder what it was like for the shepherds to get this announcement. And we're asking, what child is this? As they made their way and they would kneel at the manger. What child would this be that a young woman named Mary would ponder all of those things in her heart? What child would this be that a young man named Joseph would marry a pregnant woman who he's told by the angel is a child of the Most High? What child would this be that wise men from the east would come and they would visit the manger? You see, you can't answer the story if you stay at Christmas. Because if you want to understand the mangy manger and the person of Christ, you need to go to the waters where John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. You need to make your way to the hills of Galilee where Jesus performs miracles, where he raises the dead, where he heals the sick, where he casts out demons, where he feeds the 5,000. And if you want to understand Emmanuel, God with us, you need to go to a hill on Golgotha where Jesus would give up his life for you and for me. And then you need to go to the resurrection. And then you need to go behind the closed doors where Jesus appears to his disciples who are afraid for their life. And he tells them to not be afraid, to go into the world and tell everyone of this glorious story of Emmanuel, God with us. How do we know he's listening? Where is he? He pours out his Spirit next on his disciples. And he gives them everything they needed to go and live it out. you notice how the story is getting fulfilled? You remember Isaiah? Isaiah says that he was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. But he gave up his life, and in doing so brought us peace. For by his wounds we are healed. And then Jesus echoes words that Habakkuk brought up. My God, why have you forsaken me? I look to those questions that we are asking. And some of those questions are our questions this morning. For some of us this morning, this has been a rough year. Christmas for many people is a hard season. And yet in the midst of that story, God does something wonderful and beautiful. In the midst of the story, I think God wants us to hear this morning some powerful words. Here's the first phrase. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of the manger and because of the cross. Whatever you and I are going through this morning, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And here's the next part to that. That he who began this new work within you, he will, without a doubt, absolutely see it through to completion. So how do you do it? You probably know this piece of scripture. How do you do it? You trust in the Lord with all of your ways. And you lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct you in the way that you should go. In the midst of difficulties that we have with other people, he says to you this morning, in the midst of the mangy manger and the cross, forgive one another. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In those moments where life is going well, rejoice and be glad. The miracle of Christmas is this, that God so loved you, he wanted to remind you of that love, that he sent Emmanuel, God with us, yesterday, today, and tomorrow into our story, that he might change us and shape us in the image of God, and that we may rest securely, that our faith would be enriched, and that we might be able to know him and to enjoy him, not only for today, but forever. In the busyness of the Christmas story, of all the things that are vying for your affections, are you listening? Because God is speaking. And he wants you to know how much he loves you. We're going to pray, and as we do, we want to continue to remember Junko Jansen, the Jansen's daughter-in-law, who is dealing with breast cancer, and want to just give you an update on Brenda's brother, Greg. I know we've been praying on and off for him for a while. We want to give thanks that the tumor has shrunk to about half its size. So we want to give thanks to God for that. We want to pray for his next upcoming scan in February, that tumor not only would have been shrunken further, but maybe gone as well. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we want to give you thanks this morning. We want to give you thanks that you are speaking in this world today in ways that we can't even imagine. And Lord, that sometimes we are so hard of hearing that you send a donkey, that you send the unexpected in our lives to speak to us. Lord, I just pray that whether it be through history, whether it be through circumstances in our lives, through words, through another member of your church, or through your word, that you would draw us this Advent season once again, not only to the manger, but to the cross. And that we would say, I understand that God is speaking. And I want ears to hear what you're saying. because I don't always hear. And yet, Lord, as we wait for those moments for answers to where you are speaking and we don't hear it, we give you thanks to those ways in which you are speaking. And Lord, we just thank you for Brenda's brother, Greg. We just thank you, Lord, for the good news that the tumor is shrinking, maybe even more than we expected. We just want to pray that you would continue to watch over Greg's body, that you would continue to keep him healthy and strong. Lord, as there is a break now before the next chemo treatments, and Lord, as we wait for the next scan, we just pray that he would remain healthy, that his spirit would be refreshed. And even as we wait for that next scan, Lord, that even now, in between that time, that you would be shrinking that tumor. And that you would ultimately and totally heal him, Lord. We pray that as he waits for those answers, that you would allow his witness and his story, Lord, to be a witness to the doctors, to the nurses, to his family, to the community around him. That he'd be a radiant testimony to your work. Lord, we also want to remember Junko, Lord, who is dealing with breast cancer, Lord. We want to just pray for her spirit. We want to pray for clarity and understanding as she meets with doctors. Lord, that they would know what the next steps are. And Lord, we want to pray that you too would push the cancer back out of her body, that you would refresh her spirit, that you would strengthen her. Lord, that as she waits for answers, and I suspect soon treatment will begin, Lord, that you would ultimately and totally heal her as well. And Lord, I know there are many untold stories here this morning. Untold stories this morning who are walking into this Advent and Christmas season with many questions. Whether it be personal or financial or educational or work or health, whatever it would be. That we would find rest and strength and comfort this morning in the one who speaks. And may the story of Emmanuel, God with us, draw us to the manger this Christmas to worship with hearts that are anticipating how you want to speak into our stories this season. And in whatever way that is, oh God, may it draw us to the wonder of the child who came for us. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to turn towards the
sun. I would like to leave this city. This old town don't smell too pretty. I can feel the warning signs running on.